Come one, come y'all to the grand opening of Big Beat Dallas, March 29th through April 2nd. Be the first to indulge in a half dozen dining and drinking concepts, strategically surrounded by 7 live music stages. Starting from day one, shop local at the Rancher's Market every Thursday through Saturday. Plus, the party kicks off at dawn every day, and it's free before 9 p.m. and won't stop until 2. Come discover Big Beat Dallas, where Texas comes to play.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Fresh fire, fall on me. Lord, fall in me till there's nothing left but you. That is my prayer today, that I want God to get in there and clean it up, and so that there'll be nothing left, that when he looks at me, he'll see him. And so I thank God for just this opportunity to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Denise Bryson, and we're going to be on here talking about the power of our words. We're on a third part of this series and of this particular topic, and which is a huge topic. It has so many intricate parts, and all, it's a whole lot, and everything we do has to do with what we say and how we got to watch what we say so that we will not be snared by the words of our confession. And so we haven't even got to begin to talk about just the tongue in itself and all its aspects. But I'm so thankful just to be on here today. Thank God for each and every one of you that will be logging in, those that are calling in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you and your support. We thank God for just everything. He is so awesome, and he is wonderful. And so we're going to start out with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for your loving kindness, God. Thank you for loving us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a shepherd, and we shall not want. We thank you, Lord, that you are light and our salvation, and whom shall we fear? And, Lord, we thank you for being our refuge and our strength and our very present help in the time of trouble. Lord, we thank you, hallelujah, for being sovereign, and we thank you, Lord, for being omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, oh God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, how you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our behalf. Oh God, how he put the weight of the sins on his shoulders, oh God, and took him to the cross, Lord, that said we might have a right, hallelujah, to come unto thee, oh God, and be redeemed back to thee. So God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every day, how you protect us and how you carry us through each day. Lord, let us be guided by your Holy Spirit, oh God, that we will not continue to walk in the way of the accuser, oh God, but that we'll begin to know the voice of the accuser from the voice of God. And when he says things to us, we won't repeat those things out of our mouth, because he is accusing God, or he's accusing us. And so, Lord, we will not repeat what he has said, but we will speak life to our situation. We will no longer speak death, but speak life. We pray for this country, oh God, We pray for the leadership of this country, Lord. Lord, bless them to be led by thee, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let the people of God begin to rise up, O God, in prayer. Rise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, O God. So, Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day and this day, for you have made, and, Lord, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We know that this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in your eyes, God. So, Lord, we thank you. Bless your word to fall on good ground. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to throw the seed of the word out, to plant a water in somebody's life. So we're grateful today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank God so much for just all that he is doing. I thank God for just me studying this topic, because I tell you, when you having these moments when a test has come and trial has come, and you seem like you've been in it so long, sometimes you begin to say things over your life and not even realizing, you know, what you're saying and the effect of that, those particular words. But we have got to begin to get that under control. That's why I talked about that tongue is a little mirror, but it's a fire. And so if we don't get that under control, it can cause us all kind of havoc in our life. And so I want to start the broadcast off about just doing a brief recap of some of the things that we have talked about, because we had some other discussion when we got off the phone, and a couple of elders had some comments, and they wanted me to make sure that I got these comments out today. So I'm going to do that just as a recap of things that we have already talked about. We started out this particular topic in our relationship series on Out of the Heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, you know, with the scripture being in Matthew 12, 34 through 37, when it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so, and then a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So if we really think about that, just that scripture right there, and thinking about some of the things that we allow to come out of our mouth, that's why it's important that we have a renewed mind. And we had that series, that was our series that this is following. And so I'm going to begin to put that series back up on the broadcast daily, because we get 2 hours a day, so I might as well use that time. And so that if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, because your mind first got to be renewed before you can even start saying the right thing. If your mind is still, if you still got stinking thinking, then you're not going to speak the right thing, because it all flows together. Like it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if the heart matter was right, and when we talk about the heart, we're talking about our mind, our will, our intellect. If those things are not in alignment with God, then we can't even speak the right things out of our mouth. And so we have to be careful about the things that we are thinking so that we can be able to speak the right thing. That's why Proverbs 11:18 talks about, you know, death and life being in the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, you know, we got to be careful how we speak that, but we have to understand that our mind has to be renewed, and we have to get rid of the stinking thinking in order to be able to speak the right things to come out of our mouth, because out of that heart is where our mouth speaks. So if all of that is clogged up with a lot of negativity and a lot of things like that, we are not going to begin to speak the right things out of our mouth. So we got to begin to change our perspective on all of those particular things. And so that was one thing that we talked about, and I think that's so important that we remember that. And so you might want to go back, if you haven't listened to it, go back and hear Elder Rita Timberlake's teaching on the renewed mind. And even that topic, a big topic, and so, you know, we scratched the surface on it, but we went 10 weeks with that, and still it's so much more that she could have dived into, and I'm quite sure she felt it, because we kept thinking, well, maybe so, but you know we went on, but anyway, but it's a wonderful teaching, and so if you need your mind to get right, so that your mouth can begin to speak the right things. You might want to go back and listen to that, and I'm going to start putting that up. I have one Monday through Friday. We'll put that up so that it can be available. I think I'm going to make it available around 12 noon, so if anybody's on their lunch hour, maybe you can punch it in and just listen to it, what have you, on your phone or whatever device you have for that use. So, but anyway, and then you can always go back in the archives of our broadcast and be able to pull that out and listen to those messages. So that's why I just wanted to do a recap of week one. And so we were talking about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to be careful about what we're thinking and what's in our heart, in our mind, and our will, and our intellect, so that when we begin to talk, we can talk the right thing, we can say the right thing. And so then last week we began to talk about the creative power of our words and how, as you know, God, when the world was created, God said and God said and it came to pass. And so, and then with us being made in His image and like in His likeness, you know, we have the same creative ability. Now, while we might not be able to create the world and things like that, but, you know, the world, but stuff like that, but we do have a creative power within our speaking. That's why we have to be careful about what it is we're talking about. Because, and then Elder Timberlake, she came with this, and this was after the broadcast went out, but she wanted to make sure I wrote it down so that we could remember. Because if we think about us having a creative power to our speaking, then we really don't want to say nothing the devil is telling us. Because if we think about it, it's just like if somebody has a report, you know, from the hospital or something like that, and you're wondering to yourself, you know, then the enemy will come to you and say, you know, you're a good person. Why did God let this happen to you? Well, you got to understand that's the voice of the accuser. That is not the voice of God. And so when we hear those types of things, those are the kind of things we don't want to repeat out of our mouth. We want to continue to say what the Word of God says, align our condition with the Word of God, so then our outcome can be what God has spoken and not what the enemy has spoken. Those are the things that we have to begin to put in our spirit. I'm telling you, this is something that we got to really practice with daily, because sometimes we're so used to just saying stuff that we not even realizing what we're saying. But we cannot allow the voice of the accuser to be spoken out of our mouth. It's a particular scripture, and I don't know where it is right now, but I'll have to look it up, where it talks about don't let blessings and cursings come out of the same well. You can't let blessings and cursings come out of your mouth. So we got to begin to really, really, really think about what we're saying. And so she said, because what we say has creative power, we should never speak what the devil said. So we do not have to give it any creative power. If he comes and tell, like I said a while ago, if the enemy comes and tell you to be fearful, well, they might come pick your car up today. They might come do this. You know what? Don't start speaking that out of your mouth. Don't be talking about, oh, I was running from the repo, man. Don't start saying stuff like that. Don't do that. Say, the Lord, I don't know how you're going to bless me, but you know I need this transportation. So, Lord, I'm asking you to bless me to be able to keep it or be able to pay for it or to be able to, you know, to do it. We got to start speaking those things that are not as though they were. And that is our topic today. We're going to talk about that. That's our next step, because when I thought about creative power, I was going to talk about complaining and, you know, the cost of complaining and the minimalization of murmuring and the benefits of praise and the elevation of worship. But we're going to come back with that on another week. But we're going to go right in from that creative power of what we're talking about, our words. And then Elder Dotson said something else. He said when he spoke to Eve, he wanted her to repeat it back. So we got to remember that when the serpent was in the garden and he spoke to Eve, he said, you should not surely die. He wanted her to speak back, because what he was trying to do is to see what she really knew. That's what it really was he was trying to do. Because if she would have expressed that right with exactly what God says, then he would have known that he couldn't try to beguile her. But because she said something a little different, he said, oh, she really don't know, so let me get in here and tell her and say something to her. And so then that's how that took place. But before the transgression, God spoke to Adam. After he spoke at him, the revelation was revealed in the Word. So we got to remember not to allow the enemy to make us speak what is not God's word. You got to remember that. And that's going to take some practice. It's going to take us to really think about what we're saying and really begin to speak the word of God over our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let us think about that. But I always remember when. Go ahead.
I just want to say, you know, when you're talking about creative powers, mm-hmm. if we notice in the scriptures and the activity of the enemy, he's never been, he's not creative. He doesn't have the ability to create. He duplicates, he imitates, but he does not create. And so that's what came to me from last week. He doesn't have the ability, the power. God didn't give him that to create. So since he's not creative, he uses us, just like he talked to Eve and Adam to disobey God's word, because he uses us to carry out whatever he needs to be created in the earth. So when we speak things with our mouth, he brings it to us. We speak it out of our mouths. We give it creative power through us, because God gave us that, because we are built are made after God's image. We have that ability to speak things to make them happen, things coming from nothing to something, because God has given us that. But he does not. The enemy does not. But he will use us, trick us, or try to, and that's why we got to be on point and be on guard and know the wiles of the enemy when he's coming to bring something to get us off guard, because all he's trying to do is use us, make us a puppet. And God didn't make us a puppet. He made us instruments for him, and that's what we have to remember.
Yes. Thank you so much, Elder Timberlake. That's what we got. Just what she said, we got to remember that. We cannot allow the enemy to use us for stuff like that. You know, it's just like if you were sharing with somebody about something, a report the doctor said, or even just something that you're feeling. I know sometimes I used to think, you know, when older people would, you tell them, say, oh, you know, I've been having so-and-so, and then they go to calling some disease out. I didn't say it to them. I just used to sit there and say, Satan, Lord, rebuke in the name of Jesus. I did not have that. Because you have to rebuke what the enemy is saying. Otherwise, you let that float around in the atmosphere over your life. We have to be careful about those things. And we got to really, I mean, it's a lot to really think about and a lot to really begin, but you have to begin to practice it and begin to, you know, start speaking better things over your life and not so much negative stuff. Stop letting the negative come out of your mouth so quickly, instead of letting the positive come out of your mouth. God is not a negative God. He is a positive God, and so he wants us to speak positive. That's why he said death and life is in the power of the tongue. So you got to speak life and not death. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. So why are we speaking negative over our life? If Jesus came and he died for us to have life, not death. You got to think about that when we get ready to speak and what we say to people. Sometimes people say things jokingly, but when we really think about what they're saying, it's not really that funny. This is really a serious situation, and we really have got to get it under control. We got to remember that. We got to get these things under control, what we say and what we speak, under control. Amen? Yeah. Let's see. So today, our time, those were recaps of the last 2 weeks, and so today we're going to talk about we're going to go flow from there on into calling those things that are not as though they were. And Romans 4 and 17, get my scripture back up. Let's see here. Add it up, then I move my little mouse. Let's see. Yeah. Got to go back to the old school and get your Bible out. All this technology. Let's see. Romans 4 and 17. I want to start with that particular scripture. Here we go.
I have it. You want me to read it?
Yes, thank you.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were.
As though they were. So, and that's what we have to begin to do. We have to begin to call those things that are not as though they were. And so maybe it's not what you see right now, but if you keep quoting and speaking the word of God over your life, you'll begin to see those things begin to come to pass. Because the one thing God said about his word would not return unto him void. And so he's going to perform that what it set out to do. And so if we think about that, we think about calling those things that are not as though they were, then begin to speak those things over your life. And so one of the things that what I believe that we should do in our own individual lives, and you only know what it is you need, and what find scriptures, and I've been trying to give some scriptures at the end of the lesson to kind of pray over your life. Pray the word of God over your life. Get a confession list and begin to take scriptures and confess those scriptures over your life. I don't care if you have to do it for the whole year, from now on through all next year. Keep confessing those things over your life. If you want your life to change, then you have to begin to confess the right things over your life and stop speaking negative things over your life. It's just like, you know, people do it without even thinking about it. Like, you know, maybe, you know, you've been applying for jobs, and you applied for this job, and you applied for the job, but then you say, well, I probably won't get it because I've been applied for about 25, and I didn't get them, so I probably ain't going to get this one either. You don't know that. So why would you go apply for it and then speak negative over your life? Got to learn to speak the right things over our life. Stop joining in, and be careful what you join in with when people are talking. Be careful what you say yes to, you say amen to, or you shake your head yes to when people are talking, because they might be saying something negative. That don't mean you got to join in. Be quiet. Don't move your head. Don't make no gesture in agreement, because you might as well said it. If you're going to agree with it, and the person that we want to come into agreement with is God. That's who we want to come into agreement with. We don't want to be in agreement with somebody speaking something negative over their life. If we read Psalms 116:10, it says, I believed, and this is from the Amplified verse, I believed, trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God, and therefore I have spoken. We have got to lean on God because what we're doing is I'm recommending that you get a list. You know, we quote all the time when we think about money, oh, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath, I'm a lender and not a ball. And those things are good to say. But there's other things that you can declare and decree over your life. Like, I am a new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. So that all those old things that you used to do that were keeping you disconnected from God, so you can begin to do the others, to know that they're passed away, and the new creature is doing things that are keeping you connected with God, because you're walking in obedience and you're walking in the way that God wants you to walk. Begin to speak that kind of stuff over your life so you can begin to see your life change. And then, you know, like, you know, I have died and been raised with Christ, and now I'm seated in heavenly places with him. So those are the kind of things that you want to begin to speak over your life. We just don't have to always speak things about financial situations, but speak things about just your walk with God and how you want to walk in obedience and how you want to live the right way. Come into agreement with God's word and what God says we should be, what he has already put in his word that we should be. Those are the things we want to speak over our life. Those are the things that we are calling, call those things that are not as though they were. I've been walking, you might have been, someone might be walking in disobedience, but I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to walk in the way, in the, what the word of God said. Begin to speak those are calling those things that are not as though they were. And then before you know it, you'll be doing it without even thinking about it, because it has become a part of who you are, because you've come into alignment with God, you've come into agreement with what his word says, and then you're speaking that word out of your mouth, which is setting a different tone in the atmosphere on your behalf. Do we have any comments about that? We'll keep on going. And so those are some of the things you get. So get you a confession list. Develop a confession list that you're going to begin to speak over your life, that's going to make your life better than what it was. I had a friend of mine that passed away this month, and we didn't know it till yesterday. My brother called me and told me that this young man had passed away. He's been a friend of the family for years, and we kind of grew up together. Him and my brother were good friends. He was a little older than me, and his sister's a little younger than me. But anyway, we were all grew up in the same neighborhood. And he passed away at home. And, you know, but one thing his sister said that he began to reflect. So, you know, she knew, she kept trying to get him to go to the doctor and things like that, and he didn't want to go and all of these things. He was only 58 years old. And so when you think about that, you know, and then dying alone in the house by yourself and, you know, nobody there. So when you think about all of that, that can become. But one thing he said in his, when he was talking to his sister before he passed, he said that he wished he would have lived his life different. He wished he would have done some different things, made some different decisions and things like that. But what I'm saying, I know sometimes we feel like that, that, you know, life is kind of settled in for us and maybe this is just the way it's going to be and I can't, it's not going to change. Yes, it can change. If you're still living and breathing, it can change. Begin to speak the word of God over your life for the things that you want God to change. You're the only one that knows what you want different in your life. So if you begin to do that, then what you're saying, and then your doing will come into alignment with what you're saying, and you'll begin to see the results of what God already intended for your life. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Elder Bryson?
Yes.
I just want to add to what you're saying is delicious, but I just want to add that when we get these scriptures and we quote these scriptures that give us life, we do that to build our faith. We
yes.
have to have faith, Abraham, and we have to have a faith with an object. And his object of his faith was God. If we know anything about the word of God or whatever scripture we're reading, if we believe that word, then we need to hold on to it. Abraham had a promise given to him, and it was many years that passed before that promise came to pass. But Abraham walked in the direction of the faith. So the words that we speak out of our mouth that give us life, we've got to see it in the spirit. And we see things through faith. Because if we speak it with our mouths, but we're looking at it with our natural eye and it doesn't look like it's about to happen, if we don't have the faith, that was one of the armors that we have to have, that shield of faith, to keep our minds conditioned so we can stay in the direction that we need to go and not abort our purpose. So if we have the faith of God, we like Abraham, that until that promise is realized or come to fruition, we've got to keep the faith. So when the enemy comes in with doubt, so he's trying to destroy our faith and make us go blind, but we got to keep our eyes wide open, not just our natural eye, but our spiritual eye has to stay open, and it stays open through faith. So when we speak these words of our life that gives life, we're speaking it in faith and by faith and through faith, believing that God, if he said it, he's true to his word and he cannot lie. So I'm going to keep on speaking it until he reveals it and manifests it in earth, because it is already, because I spoke it, it was already, it's already in heaven. It's in eternity. I just need it manifested in time so you can, so people around me can see the manifestation that God is true to his word and that my faith is increased because I see what the hand of the Lord can do if I maintain my faith.
Yeah, because if we think about, and I was just getting ready to talk about Abraham and Sarah, but if we think about Abraham, the Bible says, and we think about the roll call of faith, it said Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he saw the thing afar off, but he wasn't there when it was obtained, but he saw it afar off, and he saw the start of it. You see what I'm saying? When he had Isaac, that was the start of what God had promised him, that his seed would be like the stars of the earth. And like the sand, that was the start of it. But he did not see the whole fruition of it, but he believed God that it was going to come to pass. He said, I can see it afar off. And so what Elder Timberlake is saying, we got to do this stuff in faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. You can't do it. We have to have the faith to do it. And I was going to talk about Abraham and Sarah because in Genesis 17, 5, verse 5, 15, and 16, and this is in the... I think I'm in the Amplified version. Anyway, it says, nor shall your name any longer be Abram, high exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. Now he's making him some promises, and so he's changing his name to go along with the promises that God is making him. For I have made you the father of many nations. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah, princess, her name shall be. And I will bless her and give you a son also by her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. So when you think about the changing of the name, it gave them a new self-image. Because the name was changed, every time somebody called him Abraham, they called him the father of a multitude or the father of many nations. So when they called him Abraham, God changed it, called him Abraham, that every time they called him, that they were speaking into the atmosphere of who Abraham was. Isn't that something? That blessed me when I saw that. And even for Sarah, every time they called her Sarah, they were speaking that she was the mother of nations and kings of people shall come from her. That's what her name meant. And so because her name meant that, every time it was spoken, that's what it was speaking that into the atmosphere. And it said that Abraham and Sarah, they said that Abraham just believed God. And because he believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. And though his body was dead and Sarah's womb was dead, he still believed that son was going to come to pass. And even though they kind of messed up and went and had Ishmael, because Sarah thought, well, let me help God out. This is what we do sometimes. I want to help God out. And we don't need to help God out. When God has spoken something, he's going to do it. He don't need our help. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. That's a whole other subject. But I want to read what God said to Abraham in Genesis 15, 1 and 6. He said, and after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. And Abraham said, Lord God, what can you give me, since I am going on from this world childless, and he who shall be the heir or the owner, an heir of my house, is this steward, Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram continued, look, you have given me no child, and a servant born to my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him aside, he brought him outside his tent into the starlight, and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, so shall thy descendants be. And he was still Abram at this time. And he, Abram, believed, trusted in, relied on, maintained, stood steadfast to the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness, right standing with God. So here is what God told Abram, that what was going to happen, and Abram just believed God. And so then when God made the change to call him a different name, then every time they called his name, he spoke that thing over his life. Does anybody have any comments about that? So then in Romans 4 and 8, go ahead.
That just says whatever God says you are, that's who you are. So when people say something that's not in line with God, what God has said, that's why we shouldn't speak it out of our mouths, because we are who God says we are. Yes. I was looking in Romans 4, the scripture you started out with, but 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So we can speak it because God has said it. That sells it so I can say it. And I'm going to keep saying it because God said it. And that's what Abraham's. Mm-hmm. If God made him the promise, and when people called him Abraham, they were just speaking forth what God had already said was coming to pass. that would be manifested.
Yes, that's what they were doing. And in that, that's awesome that God would even set it up like that. He changed their whole self-image and then caused their name to speak to what God was going to promise them. That's it right there.
Amen.
I was just getting ready to go to that verse, but Elder Pimlick done already read it, so we're going to move on from there. And it says that, so when we think about speaking those things that are not as though they were, that the, what we're saying is God who speaks of the non-existent thing that he has foretold and promised, and if they already, as if they've already existed. That's what God is speaking to. So we got to begin to think and speak like God. That's what I'm saying. Get you a confession list and begin to confess these things over your life. And not just when you got trouble, like when you need healing and when you need those things, but get you a list that's going to bring you to a greater place in God. I know Elder Timberlake always says, my ladder will be greater than my past. Begin to speak those things that are going to bring your life into a better place with God, into a better right standing with God, and believe you should say it. He said, if you pray, believe you're going to receive it. Otherwise, what's the point in praying? Now, in Amos 3, it says, do two walk together except they be agreed? We cannot walk with God concerning his plan for our lives unless we are willing to agree with him in our hearts and with our words. So if we don't, how can we walk with God if we're not in agreement with God? You can't say I'm a child of God and then speak something totally different than what God is speaking over you. Speak what the adversary or the accuser says. He is not God. He can't bring nothing to pass. He is hopeless. We got to think about that. When that voice begins to speak to us, that is a hopeless voice. So we don't need to repeat anything that a hopeless joker is saying. And what they're saying now, what's the word? Fact check it. Well, fact check it. If what you heard, if that don't agree in the word of God, then don't say it. You better fact check it. And all that ain't fact check, it's truth check. We need to truth check it. If what the enemy is trying, if what you hear is not in alignment with what the truth of the word says, then don't speak it. Anybody have anything they want to say about that? Our topic today is speaking those things that are not as though they were. That's what we're talking about today. We're going trying to flow from what we talked about last week of that creative power of our words. And so now we come to, it's our choice. We have a choice to if we're going to begin to make the changes in our life. God gives us a choice. You can keep speaking what you want to speak over your life, but I declare I'm going to try to change my thought pattern and what I say, because I want the promises of God, and I don't want to keep having some crazy thought, something that I done said, and thinking, you know, that's what I should. I don't want that. I want what God has to say about me. And why shouldn't we have that? If these are the promises of God, why shouldn't we be speaking the promises of God over our life and making those confessions instead of making confessions that don't align themselves with the word of God? Does anybody have anything they want to say about that? So, if the choice is ours, if we read Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. And we talked about in Proverbs 18 where it talks about death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, once again, God is telling us here, choose you this day, choose life. He said it before. So, if he wants us to choose, therefore choose life, then what we say needs to be life. So that us and our descendants can live. That's important for us to know. And so, I believe God is looking for people in whom to plant his dreams and seeds, and he wants to give us stuff. He got promises for us, but in order for us to carry God's dreams in from our lives, we have to, and lives and others, we have to be willing to concede, and we have to be willing to make these mental changes that will cause us to speak life and not death in our situation. So we have to think about it from that perspective. And we have to believe that out of the fullness and the overflow and the superabundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. Now, we talked about that earlier. So we got to get the thoughts right. We got to get what we feel right. And so we have to give those things over to the Lord so that he can begin to work us. Now, I'm not saying you got to just do everything, but I'm thinking in our own mind, God has already put things in place. We just got to get in alignment with it. Does anybody have anything they want to say about that?
You're right. We have to get in alignment and agreement with what God says. We have to realize that it is God that empowers you to do things. And
yes,
it's God that has already purposed within himself the things that come about for you. So when you line up with him, you're in agreement with him.
Yes.
And not just, you know where the scripture says creation and awaits and groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When you line up with God's word, everything notices you lining up with it.
Yeah.
And actually, they look forward to it.
Yeah.
They're already in agreement with God's word. Amen.
Yes. Amen. We have got to think about what we're, I know Elder Poston says this all the time. Do you ever think about what you're thinking about? He says that all the time. So we got to think the right thing so that we can say the right thing, get the right things in our heart. And the only way we can do that is by putting the word of God in here. I was at the hospital earlier speaking, and my topic was a cry of faith, still dealing with words, a cry of faith. And I was coming from the fact that, first of all, God gave everybody a measure of faith. But then in Hebrews 6 and 11, no, 11 and 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And so with all that being said, when I was talking about blind Bartimaeus and how he had heard that Jesus was coming by, because he couldn't see nothing, but he had heard that he was coming by, and he began to cry out to him. He said, Son of David. So when he cried out, Son of David, Jesus knew that he understood that he was the Messiah, because he knew that the Jewish people knew that the Messiah was going to come through the lineage of David. And so when blind Bartimaeus began to cry that out, Jesus knew that he had faith. He knew who he was. And so then when they kept trying to shut him up, he just kept hollering the more, Thou Son of David. He kept hollering for him to heal him. And because of that cry and because of that faith, he heard the faith in his cry. And he knew that he wanted him to. So Jesus heard it and was able to stop and pay attention to it. There's a sound that we can make that will call God to pay attention to what we're saying.
Amen.
And it comes through faith. We got to understand that. When the Syrophoenician woman came and she said, Jesus, thou Son of David, once again, he didn't want to, they was telling, she cried after him, the disciples were telling him, she cried after us. And he heard, he sat there talking, but then he said, called her a dog. She was like, you know, you can call me what you want to, I got to get this blessing. That's what she was saying, if we put it in our own terminology. And she kept coming for it. She didn't let up, so she was diligently seeking him. But the sound she made, the initial sound was, thou Son of David, which made him know that she believes I'm the Messiah. She had faith in him. And because of that cry of faith that she had, that sound that came from her, Jesus granted her request because of her faith. So we got to understand there's a sound that we can make that will cause God to listen to us.
You know, Elder Bryce. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, when you were talking, it made me think of, in thinking about Abraham, God spoke to him, and he gave him his purpose, what he wanted for his life. Well, we as Christians, and even those that don't know God yet have not accepted him, when we were created, when we were, the fact that we were born and have breath and still living means that we have purpose and destiny. Because God doesn't do anything by happenstance or by accident. We all have a purpose. And the enemy has been on his job trying to divert us and keep us distracted so we won't walk into our purpose and destiny. He keeps getting us distracted by the things that we are facing, the challenges that we have to face, jobs and death and situation and illnesses and all those things. But then we need to get like Job and say, though God slay me, coming out of our mouths, yet will I trust him. Because whatever we're going through, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. When the enemy comes, we got to speak the word, just like Jesus spoke in the wilderness when the enemy was trying to tempt him. Because we have purpose and destiny, just like Abraham. So we need to be on the path to go in the direction that God has designed for us. So we will not abort that, because many times, as you just said, we get distracted because we our lack of faith, because we are getting distracted by our natural eye, because we think like the world. But we've got to mature. We've got to grow up in the Word, start growing in the Word, chewing, eating this Word, and let it saturate us and take hold and take life so it can become applicable in our, and we become be able to apply it and practice it on a daily basis so it we can see the Word working, because the Word will work only if we work it. So if we want it to work in our lives, we need to be working it. And when we speak it, we got to believe it and then start walking in that direction, because that's what Abraham did. He walked in the direction of wherever God said go, that's where he went. He didn't question God. He went. When God told him to give up his son as a sacrifice, he didn't say, God, can't you use something else? I got all this flock. I got this. You just gave me this child. He didn't do that. He, whatever God said, that's what we got to get. Whatever God said, we got to trust him enough. Whatever it is, I'm going to walk in that direction. And when we do, then the things that come of our mouth will be in the direction, will be the words that God has spoken. God, we're going to say what God says. And if we know if God said it, that settles it.
It's off. Yeah. Anybody else have any comments? Because I'm done with my lesson for today. That's what I wanted to really speak about is speaking those things that are not as though they were, and understanding that, you know, in our the creative power of our words, we have to begin to speak those things that are not as though they were. We have to begin to do like God did. And that's what he did with Abraham. He told him what was coming, even though it was a long time before he got the blessing. But Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. And even when God told him to sacrifice his son, he just got up and went to do it. And so then on his journey, he told the people that were with him, he said, y'all stay here. Me and the lad is going to go, but we'll be back. He prophesied that him and the lad was coming back. So even that, he spoke out of his mouth what he wanted God to do, and God blessed him. But God wanted to know that he was even sacrificed that son in his heart, that he cared more about God than he cared about the thing that God had gave him. And so we got to think about that we got to care more about what God has in the purpose and plan for our life than what we think about, than the things we think about. We got to think about that. Are we willing to give it all up for Christ? So we're going to get ready to close for the day. And if there's anybody out there and I always let Elder Dodson do this, he gives a call for souls, and then Elder Timblek will ask her to pray us out. And we'll be back here next week on the Prospering Souls, and we're going to talk about complaining, and we're going to talk about murmuring. We're going to talk about, those are the negative aspects. Those are the things that separate us, disconnect us from God. And then we're going to talk about the things that connect us to God next week. That's what we'll be talking about on next week. And we're going to talk about how praise and prayer and worship, those things connect us to God, and that those words that come out of our mouth are the words that can connect us to God, but how all this other stuff, these words can disconnect us. And so we want to talk about that. Elder Dotson, will you do our invitation to Christ? And then Elder Timberlake, will you pray us our final prayer out? Amen.
Amen. Beautiful lesson tonight. Wonderful lesson tonight. Those that are listening, if you don't know Christ, we would like for you to pray this prayer with us. Father, forgive me for my sins. I repent of my wrong, and I choose you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again, and I believe that you are God. And I would like for you to come into my heart and make me one of your children, that I may live and not die. If you prayed this prayer, we believe that you are saved. And you need to get to a church that is a Bible teaching church and a Bible believing church so you can grow in the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Father God, we thank you for this day, for this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the word, the teaching that we've heard today. And God, as we go forth this week, help us to guard our tongue, guard our mouth, and help us to speak life, God. Help us to speak those things that are not in according to your word, and help us to believe you into the manifestation of your promise, because you are faithful, that promise. And God, we're going to speak life today over each and every one that's listening, over each and every one that's participated on this phone, on this conference call today. God, we just thank you, and we are who you say we are. You say we're the head and not the tail, and we are above and not beneath, for we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, and we shall go in grace and walk in victory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
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 And we do, God.
Yeah. Thank the Lord, and we will see you all back here on next week on the broadcast. We will continue on this same topic as in our flow going through this topic. I don't know how long we're going to be here, but anyway, we're going to keep going until the Lord say something different. God bless each and every one of you, and we thank God for you. Amen.
God
Good
night. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Introducing McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and
a weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1, $2, $3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Come one, come y'all, to the grand opening of Big Beat Dallas, March 29th through April 2nd. Be the first to indulge in a half dozen dining and drinking concepts, strategically surrounded by 7 live music stages. Starting from day one, shop local at the Rancher's Market every Thursday through Saturday. Plus, the party kicks off at dawn every day, and it's free before 9 p.m. and won't stop until 2. Come discover Big Beat Dallas, where Texas comes to play.